Summits of God in New York State had an in-person network conference, something we haven't had since pre-pandemic. And Finley was one of the guests in the room that had exhibits. And the moment he and I started chatting, he started sharing what he had, my heart resonated with his ministry and with the man himself. There is no question God has anointed him and called him to do what he's doing. We have a brief video that Pam's going to pop up to give you an overview of it, and then we're going to turn it over to him, and whatever God gives you, share with us. By the way, he's a missionary to Myanmar. You know, may not know where that is. Think Burma. That's what it used to be. Kind of Southeast Asia. You got India and Pakistan. No, India and then over Thailand. Yep. And then China above, right? Okay.
Lord Church, I thank God that he's given me this time to come to this church. Like Pastor has said, me and Pastor, we met for the first time at our district conference. And since that time, the Lord's been putting in my heart to come here and to share the word of God with you, as well as share what God has been doing in the country of Myanmar. My name is Finley Philippos, Pastor Reverend Finley Philippos. And I want to share with you what the Lord is doing in my life. In the year 1997, you know, the Lord had first called me into the ministry. I was I was walking the wrong way in my life. I was going the wrong path, and it took a hailstorm and being in the middle of the woods with one building, which was a church, for me to come to the Lord. I was forced to go in there. A hailstorm got me into that church, but it was there where the Lord called me into the ministry. Later did I realize that it was that the Lord had put it in my heart, my mom's heart, when I was, before I was born, that said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him in the ministry. I had no idea at that time what the Lord was doing in my life. I just knew that at that moment, when God was calling, when I was in that church, God started calling me into the ministry. God has been doing mighty things in my life. I didn't have a heart for missions. I didn't have a heart for ministry. But God had to develop that in my life. Wherever I've gone, God was preparing me. God took me to different places. I studied at a school called Christ for the Nations. It's a place where the Lord brought me closer to him, and I started worshiping and praising God and getting closer to hearing the Spirit of God. Then the Lord took me to North India. Let me tell you, even though I'm Indian, I was born and raised in America, grew up in Burger King, McDonald's, and everything, and God took me to North India to become a vegetarian, to live in a place where I was unfamiliar with. But it was there where God started giving me a vision for South Asia. He started teaching me the principles or the things that needed to happen in South Asia for the church to grow. From there, I came back to the States, and the Lord started preparing me and showing me where he wanted me to go and do ministry. The country of Burma is a place what the Lord had given me a vision for while I was doing my master's in divinity. The Lord started introduced me to a young man who said that he had to go through the forest for 3 days into the country of India just to learn the scriptures correctly. He had to go into the place and go across the border without a visa, and that's where he started learning the word of God. And the Lord put in my heart, that's the place where you need to go. I didn't know anybody in that country. I knew this brother, and I came to him and said, the Lord is putting in my heart to come and minister there. And he told me, I love that you have a heart for Myanmar, but we can't work together. I have people that already started giving me the finances, and if you can give me the finances, we can work together. And I said, you know, I don't have anything. But it was the Lord that called me there. And without a doubt, without any questions, I told the brother, whether we work or not together, I know the Lord has called me there, and I'm going to come. And sure enough, I got to the country in 2014. And from there, the Lord started paving the way and making the way for us to do and start the work and the ministry that you just saw right now. The Lord has been faithfully doing His work, and I thank God that I can participate in that ministry. In 2014, the Lord started showing me the villages and areas in Myanmar which needed the Word of God. I don't know if you've heard, if you've seen the country of Myanmar, it's made of many, many different tribes, different people groups, people who don't even speak the same languages. I mean, there is a national language, Burmese, but most of the people, they don't speak the same languages. Okay? And God was sending me to a place, into a region, where the gospel has not been penetrated. It's a place where if you try to go there from another tribe, the people will come and kill you. That's the type and area or the group of people that God is enabling us to train. It's the people called the Wa people. Since then, more and more different tribal people have been coming to our school. But specifically, the Lord was giving me a heart for them because that's the drug trafficking community of South Asia. It's a, opium is their cash crop. Everybody there is addicted to drugs. And there's so much problems in that country. I can share so many things. But one thing that the Lord was putting in my heart is this is the nation, or this is the place that I have for you to go. Now, as I said before, nobody can go there or they'll get killed. And the Lord, I had to go there and God started showing me the exact location and the place where we started the ministry. It's about 3 hours away from their border where people from that area has migrated. And God allowed us to start a school of ministry there where now people from that region is coming to us, studying the Word of God, learning the Scriptures, and then going back and reaching the gospel, putting the gospel into the people's hands. The people are learning the Word of God, people that have never heard the Scriptures. Yes, there are churches in Myanmar. Yes, even the Assemblies of God has started work in Myanmar. But many of the churches don't believe in what the Assemblies of God teaches. In fact, they may say they're AG, but they might practice witchcraft. And the reason is because this is what has happened, is that the country has not allowed new churches to form. So if you want to be a pastor and if you want to be a minister, you have to join one of the churches that are there. Whether you're a Catholic or the three groups that are there, Catholic, Baptist, and the Assemblies of God. And what often has happened is pastors, ministers, they come, they get ordained with the Assemblies of God, and guess what? They lead many astray. I want you to understand that it's people that do not believe in what we believe. But unfortunately, that's the situation. And God was putting in my heart, you need to go there, you need to train up, you need to lead, you to do the ministry there. That's something that the Lord taught me in North India. I realized that me by myself, if I go there, I'm not going to be productive. They won't accept me. They won't receive me. But the fact is that the Lord's work is continuing because the Lord put in my heart that we need to raise up indigenous leaders. And that's what you saw. For the past since 2014, the Lord has been step by step leading us and developing the ministry that you see today. We were able to start the school ministry. When the government came against us, when there was literally the government told us to stop ministering or stop doing a school in the church that we were doing our ministry, we had to find a place, a rented place, and we started teaching even there. We didn't stop because the Lord is the one who called us. So He's faithful to do what He wants us to do. You know, I still remember it was just like from here to the parking lot, to the end of the parking lot, there's a military person standing had a booth there, because he was watching what was going on, everything that was happening in that village. For some reason, you know, there's tribal problems in that country. And just about that much of a distance, God gave us a place where we were teaching. But guess what? We were able to raise up indigenous leaders. Today, by God's grace, we have moved to a land. God enabled us with His grace during COVID to start to work in a in a property that God gave us. And I just want to show you what God has given us in the past 1 year during COVID. When many ministries have stopped, the Lord enabled us to continue the work because the Lord is the one who established this ministry. And I want you to see just recently what God was doing with us and through us in the land.
Working in this place.
The reason I show you this today, this was a promise that the Lord gave us. And in this place today, a church is thriving that we had never understood how God is going to work. I believed, you know, the Lord was calling us to just work among the wall people. People coming from that area. But as we were doing the ministry in this region, the Lord started showing me that there's more that needs to be done. That region, if you saw that cross, that cross was there even before we got there. And it turns out that region, there's people that were Christians or they're not really Christians. They at one time, their generations believed in Christ, but they don't believe it anymore. And it's in that place today that the church is growing. The church is growing, and that in that building, it's getting filled with people coming to the Lord, receiving Christ. And in that place and in that region, God is doing great things. You know, it's amazing how the Lord does things. He knows where you need to be. He knows where to place you. And in due time, He fulfills all the promises. These are the promises that God has given us, and it's being fulfilled today. God is faithful. That's all I can say. Who would have known? A person like me who was walking the worldly ways, didn't have a care for missions, and the Lord said, "You I have chosen." I had said, "Lord, okay, if you have chosen me, send me where you want me to go." I didn't decide that I'm going to be a pastor. I didn't decide, you know, I'm going to do this ministry or that ministry. I've had offers. I studied at Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. It's one of the, you know, very good schools. When I got out of that school, I was getting offers to be a pastor. And I said, no, that's not the call of God in my life. God is sending me for missions. And it's that even though all these offers came, God faithfully has completed the good work that He began, not only in my life, but also in the place where we are. I ask the church to keep us in prayer because there's so much more that we need to do. That land is still vacant. We built a parsonage there, and we have smaller, you know, a temporary housing for our students. Today, our students are coming from all over. Today, my coordinator's daughter-in-law, she's actually a teacher. She's teaching people how to read and write. People who never learned to read and write is learning right there, right now. And when they're learning to read and write, guess what? They're learning the scriptures. They're going back. And people are also seeing the blessings that are happening in these brothers and sisters' life. And now they attribute it to Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He's doing the work. All we're doing is just saying, "Lord, use us." And I pray in each one of you understand the situation there. The military right now is one of the, there's civil war happening there right now. But the Lord's work is continuing. There's problems in that country. Like I said, that part of the region where we're doing the ministry was at one point the largest drug trafficking community, opium, that was coming in New York City's back in the 1980s. Afghanistan took over. But when the U.S. went into Afghanistan, this became number one again. And then, you know, it shifts back and forth. But praise God, God is allowing people to come to Jesus. And I need your prayers, your support, your love, so we can do the work that God has called us to do. It's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And it's the Spirit of the Lord who led me there. And it's the Spirit of the Lord that's doing the work. And He will continue to work. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Today, the Lord has given me a word, and I believe it's the word of the Lord for this church. Because as Pastor came up here this morning, he spoke from a verse that goes along with the word that the Lord has given me. I think everybody heard it, Psalms 27, verses 8. It's about seeking God, seeking His face. And I believe the word that I have for this church is from God for you. So please come along with me as I share the word of God with you, because I believe God is going to use this as a blessing to each one of you. Let's turn. Before we continue, I just want to thank the Browns, as well as Pastor and everybody that's opened the doors for me so I can be here today. The Browns have opened their house for me to come and reside with them. They've fed me, they've blessed me, and I thank you guys for opening those doors. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor, for opening and giving me the chance to come to your pulpit as well. I appreciate that very much. Okay, that's the work of the Lord. Anyway, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. If we can look to that verse, it's something that the Lord is putting in my heart. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 7. It says this: Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to the earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, with idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word, O living God, will resonate in the hearts of your people, O God. I pray and I trust, O God, that you will do a good work in each and every one of our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This portion of the scriptures, is a book. Actually, this book is written by Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, and he's speaking to them and sharing with them the heart of what the Lord has put in his heart. He's speaking not only to the church, but into individuals. Each individual that's hearing this, Apostle Paul is speaking something for individuals within the church. And here we read how several things that is happening in the life of the people there, or what Apostle Paul is encouraging the people, but also telling them who they are in Christ Jesus. We see here in the scriptures, it says in verses 4 and 5 to 7, he speaks to them of who they were. He speaks to them of where they came from. And then he goes on and says, where the ways that you once walked, you walked in these ways in the life you once lived. You once walked in these ways, and now you're living in a different way. That's the type of message that Apostle Paul is saying here. He says that you walked in impurity, sexual immorality, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. He says all these things were things that you once walked, but today, because you are with the Lord, you are walking in a newness of life. Newness of life is something that each one of us seated here needs to be walking in. In Romans chapter 1 verses 4, it talks about us putting to death our old self. And it talks about us, we need to walk in a new type of life by putting away the old person. Each one of us, when we came to Christ, what were we supposed to do? We were supposed to put off our old self and walk in a new life, in a new path that God wants to us to do. But what does that mean, walking in newness of life? What does the scripture mean when it says, walk in this new type of life? Well, let me tell you. Earlier in this verse, in the first few verses, it clearly says what walking in newness of life is. The first thing that it says, Paul writes here, is he says, you've been raised with Christ in heavenly places. You, as a child of God, each one of us seated here, because we are born again, because we've been accepted, because we have been saved, we are now what? Seated at the right hand of God. We are seated with Him, and we've been raised with Him in heavenly places. Set your minds on the things. But Apostle Paul says, how we should walk, or what we should do, or what we should do when we're seated in heavenly places, you and I. Apostle Paul here says what? Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. What Apostle Paul is saying here is that our hearts, our minds, our hearts should be set on the things of God, or what God wants for us. He's saying that we need to seek the will of God. Each one of us needs to seek after God and what He has, or what He wants for each one of us. We need to walk in His ways. We need to love the Lord with all our heart and follow and be obedient to what God has for us. Not only does He says that you are raised with Christ, not only are we supposed to set our hearts on things above, what the scripture says that what? We need to set our minds on things above. Setting our minds on things above. That's how a Christian should be walking. We need to know how each one of us walk. It says that we need to set our minds on things above and no longer on earthly things. No longer are we supposed to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit is what walking in newness of life means. We were walking in the earthly path, but today you and me are now walking in the newness of life. But what does that mean? And this is something that the Lord was putting in my spirit. What the walking, he started putting in my spirit when I was looking at my own life. What does it mean to walk in newness of life, and what does it mean? What does it entail? If you read, continue reading in this portion, Colossians chapter 3, we see what it means to walk in newness of life. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 onwards, we read exactly what the Bible says. It says this. It says, the first thing it says is, in Colossians chapter 3, it speaks of things that we are supposed to do. But many times, I have taken parts of this verse and said to myself, this is what I need to do. Meaning, I thought that if I do this, then that was all enough. That was all that was needed. I didn't take the full context of the scriptures and apply it fully into my life. And what I mean is this. For example, if you look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 16, it says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. I thought if this was enough if I was having this in my life, that's all that it meant, or that's all I needed to walk in newness of life. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, if I come to a good church and I'm getting the word of God weekly, week after week, then I am okay. I'm walking in the newness of life. If I'm coming to the song and coming to church and singing spiritual songs, praising God daily, and praising God weekly and daily in my life, then guess what? I'm walking in newness of life. This portion of the life of a believer is very essential. But the thing is that there's much more in Christian life than just doing those things. Each one of us needs to move on and do many more things than just doing these things. But what does the scripture say? The scripture says that there's more to walking in God's ways. Walking in His ways, what does it mean? It means putting off your old self, your old nature and walking in the way that God has for you. What does it read? We read, Apostle Paul is reading and speaking to the church. He's not speaking to anybody else, but he's speaking to the church and he says, put therefore to death what is earthly in you. But then he goes on to say this, but now you must put away all. He's telling to the church here that there's more things that you need to put away. Things like in verses 8, it says anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. There's more that the church in Colossae needed to put away in their life in order for them to walk in the newness of life that God wanted them. There was more things that each one of them in that body needed to do. It was not just that we see in the scriptures. We see that majority of them, Apostle Paul says, there's more things that you had to do for you to walk in the path that God has for you. We read on in that verse and it says that we need to be renewed in the knowledge of Christ. He says we need to understand what God's word is and apply it, or we need to walk in that. Many times I've looked at my own life and I say, I saw myself wanting to walk the way that God had for me, wanting to do what God wanted in my life, but oftentimes I didn't do everything where God wanted. I was just walking in one way in my life. I was just coming to church and I thought that was good enough. Daily, I did not submit myself to the Lord. Daily, I did not do the things where I needed to bear the fruits of the Spirit in my life. There is a change that God expects for each one of His children. He's looking for something that He wants to do in each one of our lives so we can draw closer to Him. We are called to be children of this. We are called to be children of God. We are called not to walk according to the flesh, but walking according to the Spirit. There are so much things I look back in my own life, and I see in my own life and say, you know, this, even though I wanted to serve God, even though I had a heart and will to do the things God wanted, because I was not on the trajectory or the path that God wanted me to be, I was not getting to the destination where God had for me in my life. I know that in my personal life, that those things were there where I turned to the right a little or turned to the left. Even though I had a good desire, I was not able to go to the place and destiny that God had for me. We need to walking in newness of life. What does the scripture mean? We die to our old self, which means we put away the things that we were, we bury it, and we walk in the path that God has for us. This is the Christian walk. This is the way that God has called each one of us. Going on, I would say that this, in each one of our hearts, in each one of our lives, we know the things that we go through, or the things that we have put on in our lives that we need to put away. But what we need to, the thing is that we need to be strengthened by the Spirit of God daily. We need to be people that seek God on a daily basis. We need to be people that come closer to Him on a daily basis and try to and set our minds on what God wants from our lives. I look back and I say that God's faithful hand was there even though I walked not according to His path. But one thing is this. There was a plan and destiny that God had for me. And I know that if I wasn't setting my eyes on focus on Him, I can walk in a different path. What I mean is this, that even if we want to serve God the correct way, even though we want to do what God wants us to do, if we're not setting our hearts on God, we won't be able to accomplish what God wants from us in our lives. I look back, what I mean is this, God has given me a vision. God has given me a heart to do ministry. But if I didn't do it according to his plan or his way or his things, I would not be able to do the greater things that God has for me to do. It's the same thing with each one of us. Each one of us, it's good to be in the church. It's good to receive from the Lord. But are we getting to the destiny or the place where God wants us to be? Walking in newness of life, how do we do it? Colossians chapter 3, it says what? We need to put on certain things. It means that we need to put on many of the fruits of the Spirit that God wants us to bear in our own life. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. It says we need to bear certain, the fruits of the Spirit. He wants us to put on or clothe ourselves with the fruit of the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to walk. What God wants from us is bearing the fruits of the Spirit, walking in the path that God has for you. Walking in the Spirit is not just receiving and listening to the anointed message of your pastor. Walking in the Spirit is not just receiving teaching day after day. Walking in the Spirit is not just singing psalms and spiritual songs. Our walk is a daily walk that God has given us from the moment we accepted Christ Jesus in our lives. Amen. It's not just baptized in the Holy Spirit and that's all that's needed and we can move and I can be strengthened. But it's more than that. It's God has enabled each one of us seated here at this moment to come into his presence, seek his face, hear from God, receiving from him on a daily basis. That's the only way you and me can walk in that newness of life, is if we surrender ourselves to him and seek his face daily. The Lord was calling me into doing missions, and I allowed things of the world to influence my life where I was still carrying malice, anger, bitterness in my spirit. And it was oftentimes it's because, you know, I might have not gotten this or I might not have gotten that for ministry purposes. In my own life, I started having characteristics that was not walking in the newness of life. Even though I was trying to serve God, even though I was trying to move forward with everything, I had the vision, I had the goal, I had everything that needed to be done for me to do what the Lord wanted me to do in my personal life, I was not walking with God. Each one of us here, seated here, I believe has a call and destiny, and you guys are moving in the Spirit, and you guys might be involved in different ministries. But searching deep down in yourselves, in your hearts, are you walking in the newness of life that we're supposed to walk in? And that only happens when you have a stronger relationship with Christ in order for us to move forward.
So would you see the analogy in John 15 where Jesus talks about abiding in the vine?
Yes.
That life flows as we are attached to the vine.
Yes.
And that if we're trying to do fruit without that attachment, we're going to eventually wither. We need to stay connected to the vine.
Exactly what I'm sure many of you know that passage where, you know, in order for us exactly to bear the fruit that God wants us to do, we need to abide, just like his pastor said, we need to be attached to God and be having that relationship with God. If we're not allowing, case of in a vine, if we're not allowing that nutrients to get into us, we start withering, we can be broken off. I mean, we can't do what we're called to do.
True.
We're not able to bear the fruits that we're supposed to do. We have a purpose, we have a plan, we have a destiny. We're not allowing the Spirit of God to do that in us and through us, but we're not able to move according to the path that God has for us.
True. It says we abide the sap of the Spirit. Mm. Him, but we want to invest in this very, very critical ministry in Southeast Asia. We want to be able to make a difference in